So I want to talk to you today. The title of this message is called Practically Speaking. Practically Speaking. Keep that in mind. So if you will, I want everyone to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to share something very practical with you today. I want to share something very practical. You're going to hear that word a lot. While you're turning to Ephesians 6, this guy was talking to a friend. He says, I got in a fight with my wife again last night. And his friend says, again? How did it end this time? He says, well, she ended up on her knees, practically begging. And the friend says, really? What did she say? And the first guy says, she said, get out from underneath there, you coward. I thought that was good. If you like that, here's another practical joke, kind of. They're not practical jokes, but they're jokes with the word practical in there. This guy says, I've got a kid in Africa that I feed, clothe, send to school, and inoculate for 75 cents a day. Which is practically nothing compared to what it cost me to send him there 5 years ago. Just a thought. All right. Most of us are aware that Paul wrote about half the New Testament. And in his writings, we believe there was inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Correct? I think that's important. If we just academically take what he wrote and we don't recognize the breath of God on it, then it just becomes an exercise in academics. It just becomes an exercise in what you know. It just becomes a lot of good ideas. But I don't believe that Paul was talking to the people that he wrote to or to us. I don't believe the scripture is talking to us with just, you know, this is something you might want to try. I think that's a good way of saying it in some ways. You know, maybe you ought to take a stab at this. That's not a bad thing to say. But it's a little stronger than that, too, because the reason that maybe you should take a stab at this is because it works. Like, the things that Paul said are for our benefit. And it wasn't coming just from Paul. It wasn't just suggestions from Paul for some of the believers. It was the Holy Spirit's directives. And if they are from God, probably we should be doing them. I think that's pretty well understood by us as a congregation, but I want to make sure. We don't have to do everything that Paul tells us to do, but what if we did everything that Paul tells us to do? Practically speaking, what would it look like if we started doing the things that Paul said? Paul said, for example, this is not where you're at in your scripture yet, you're in Ephesians, but in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, we do see some history about what Paul did, and there may be a couple of things that you would look at and go, well, I'm not sure that the Holy Spirit would want me to do that, but he would want Paul to do that. I agree with that. You probably are, most of you, not going to be shipwrecked multiple times. Yeah, glad too, right? Hey, I'll take that. Yeah, I don't think you're going to do everything exactly as Paul did, because Paul was being directed by the Holy Spirit to do things that were specific to him. When he said, I'm imitating Christ, he did not get up and get crucified, because Jesus had done that and Paul didn't need to do that. That was something that Jesus did. But in that he walked and lived his life in a way that was Christ-like, that is an amazing thing. Paul also said in Philippians 4:9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I like that last line, the God of peace with me. How many have moments, most weekly maybe, maybe for you it's only once a year, but most of you probably have something weekly, and some of you might even claim shorter durations than that, where you could really use a little bit of extra peace. If you have children, this is a good place to say amen. Yeah, I could just use a little peace right now. I get it. So we want the peace of God to go with us. I believe Jesus walked in the peace of God. Just walked in it, just constantly. I believe Paul was working on walking in the peace of God, just letting himself have peace. He does say in 2 Corinthians at the beginning that they were tested really severely and had reached a point of despair. So he didn't always have it all the time, but Paul was recommending it highly. He thought it'd be a great idea. And I don't think it's unavailable to us. Just because Paul went through a bump doesn't mean we have to go through them too. But we do go through bumps, and when we go into those things, that's when we really do need the peace of God. I want to know he's with me. Even though I know he's with me, I know he'll never leave me or forsake me. But there are times when I need to know he's with me, and that's a level of peace. So practically speaking, there that word again, practically speaking, doing what Paul did and imitating Paul would be a very practical way for us to practice our faith. See what I did there? All those practical words of practice. Now, there's no way I can cover everything that Paul did or told us to do or all the ways to imitate Paul in one message. But since last Pentecost Sunday, I've had an itch. And today I'm going to scratch it. Now, some of you will remember Pentecost Sunday was T-shirt and flip-flop day. And I said that day, I got two messages in my mind today, and one was very much Pentecost-oriented, and the other one was about our church and what God has been leading us to become. And so we shared that message on what the church is the direction of the church, and I thought it was a good day to do it. I felt like that was what God wanted me to do that day. But before I preached the message on our church and about where our church is going, I some of you may remember, I made a very strong emphasis. I called it a short message. And my short message was, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. Some of you remember me saying that? Maybe? Yeah? Okay. And I pointed out that Paul wrote these words, and practically speaking, that they weren't Paul's words, but they were the words of the Holy Spirit. And then I asked a question that morning. And here's the question. I said, if your spouse, I think I picked on the guys more. I think I said, if your wives, guys. But I let's just use spouse today. If your spouse asks you to do something, do you just ignore it? Or do you consider it? Now, unfortunately, some of us have had problems where the spouse ignored it and didn't consider it. A smart person considers it, and if it's a good idea, if there's not a real obvious reason not to, a smart person takes what their spouse says to them, examines it, looks at it, and then moves forward on it if it's a good idea. That's the way it works in my relationship. My wife tells me what to do, and I do it. It's a good idea. It's just even if I'm not sure it's a good idea, it's a good idea. You might have reason to question your spouse's ideas. I know my wife does. I have ideas sometimes, and she questions them, and usually her question's like, I didn't think of that. But she does. She's really good about thinking about a lot of details sometimes, and she asks. So the thing that I want to point out to you is the Holy Spirit's never had a bad idea. Right? Holy Spirit's never had a bad idea. Like if the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to do something, then it's a good idea. So in light of the times in which we are living and the peace that we need and the idea that being the way the Holy Spirit wants us to be and wanting to see all of God's people equipped for the times in which we are living, I think it's good for us to look at this verse in Ephesians that I want to look at. So if you're in Ephesians 6, look at verse 18. And this is what it says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Everybody say all. With all kinds of prayers. Everybody say all. And requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all. Everybody say all. For all God's people. Pray in the Spirit. So, would you say this is just a good suggestion? It is a good suggestion, but I don't know that it's just a suggestion. When we pray on every occasion that we pray, do we all pray in the Spirit? Is there a place for praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers or just with some kinds of prayers? Well, this seems to say all. Should praying in tongues be included with every request or just some requests? Well, it should be included with all. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I must admit that I probably have not been practicing this very well, praying in tongues every time I pray. And part of that is because I still think that it's a common misconception that people aren't supposed to hear you pray in tongues. In fact, some people think they're never supposed to even hear you pray. Maybe I'll address that another time, but that is incorrect, just so you'll know. Well, okay. Might take a couple extra minutes, but I'm going to address it right now. You shouldn't be praying to be seen of men, but you should be seen of men praying. If you're seeing just to be seen of men, then your prayers are not good. But if you pray and they catch you praying, and we do pray out loud sometimes, and it's good to pray, and we should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Most of us probably don't go into a restaurant and go, "Oh God, thank you." Now, if we're doing that to be seen of men, that's not a good idea. But if we're, it doesn't say we shouldn't be seen of men doing it. Well, I'm just not very demonstrative. Yeah, but you died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. So now you can raise your hands. Because you're dead. Yeah, we might talk about that again sometime too. There's too much to do there. I'm not going to go there. So here's maybe the question. But is speaking in tongues praying in the Spirit? Theologically, I've heard this argued. So let me help you establish something. And we can establish it by looking at what Paul said, and Paul would be pretty consistent, especially since he wrote almost half the New Testament. He would be pretty consistent in what he said, and it would be about the same to every group that he wrote to, don't you think? Do you think he changed his mind, wrote different things to different groups so he could manipulate those groups to get them to do what he wanted, or do you think the Holy Spirit was leading him? Okay, I think that settles it. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now, this is in the context of praying in a tongue. So, praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit were the same thing to Paul. And when Paul wrote this, he wrote it to all of the people, and they would share their letters, and they understood what he was saying. And so if you think you can pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues, I'm not going to say anything's impossible because the Holy Spirit can lead a prayer in any language. I've heard people pray inspired prayers. But for the most part, when we're talking about praying in the Spirit, we're talking about praying in tongues. And that's a good thing. Okay, got that established in your minds now? You okay with that? All right, good. Now, by the way, I'm not trying to force anybody to do anything, but I'm trying to equip you to do everything that can help you to have that peace that passes all understanding as you walk through a world that's gotten crazy. Is there anybody besides me that you can say you've lived through a crazier time than now? I don't think so. Maybe if my dad and mom were still alive, they could talk about, right after World War II. It's kind of crazy. If there was anybody alive in 1929, there was a Great Depression. And by the way, as much as it's crazy right now, and I think it's crazier on some other levels, I do remember a time in my life where there were gasoline lines all across the country. I do remember a time when there was 20% unemployment in Logan, Ohio, which I lived near, and there was 13% unemployment nationwide. So we have gone through some stuff before. It's just now there are other things that make it crazier. I mean, when you can't tell the difference between, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, and the people who go to the Supreme Court can't tell you the difference either. I fear for the judges that can't figure that out. And I question whether their judgment is entirely there. So we live in a crazy time. I think that we need everything that we can get. Now some will hear this message and they'll say, well, but not everybody speaks in tongues. It's not even possible for all believers to speak in tongues. Even Paul said that. I'm glad you brought that up. But Paul didn't say that. That's the problem. This is referring to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to get to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, we're going to quote from them a lot, so you can turn over there if you want. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31, we read this. Now you are the body of Christ. Lisa, I just wanted you to know you are the body of Christ. How many think that she's the whole body of Christ? Yeah, you don't think so. I don't think so either. So when the you is being said here, it's not you as individually, but you as a group are the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. Does everybody get that? You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Pretty clear. And God has placed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? By the way, interpret wasn't in the original list, but there he goes. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. In this passage, he's talking to the church. And some people think that because of this, all don't speak with tongues. But he's not talking about tongues in the life of the individual in this passage. He's talking about tongues in the life of the church. You know, we haven't had anyone break out in tongues and have an interpretation of that for quite a few years, honestly. And there was a time when I first came here where there were a couple of different people. Some of you remember Verona Miney. She always sat right back behind where the Sanderses are right now in the same seat every time. I could always count it. And every once in a while, Verona would break out in tongues, and there would be an interpretation. It's kind of cool. And it should happen. There's no reason why it can't happen. I think we might want to encourage it to happen. Tongues seems to be valued in the Scripture. Maybe we're missing out on some value with that. But in this passage, Paul is addressing the church, not individuals in the church. So he starts out saying to the church, you are the body. And again, that you is all y'all, all of us together. We know that one person does not make up the body of Christ. And Paul goes on to talk about the gifts of God being placed in the church. There are times when gifts manifest in the church. There are times when gifts manifest in your lives as individuals. He's talking about the church right now. These gifts are areas of activity that happen while we're gathered together as the people of God, and should happen while we're gathered together. And we need to also understand that this is part of a larger context where Paul was talking about the body. So if you read before the passage that I was reading and you look back through all of chapter 12, you're going to see a whole thing about the body in chapter 12. And, you know, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and all that. You've read that before, many of you. And you can see that in verses 12 through 21. So when Paul asks the question, do all speak in tongues, he's communicating the idea that when we all come together as the church, that not everybody is going to speak in tongues as part of a manifestation meant to involve the whole congregation. That doesn't mean that all of us during a church service couldn't be praying in the Spirit. During music, You might pray in the Spirit, or you might even sing in the Spirit. You might just let yourself just sing along with the melody or a harmony and sing along. You might pray in a way that's not super loud, that isn't where everybody needs to stand up and take notice. But you might be praying in the Spirit that way. And not every time that we gather together, and for us, not lately, not many times, has someone spoken out for an interpretation. And that was interesting because the passage says, you know, even though it didn't mention interpretation in the first set, it says not all interpret. Well, not everybody's going to have an interpretation for a word in tongues. One word in tongues requires one interpretation. That makes sense? So that's what Paul was talking about there. But later in chapter 14, he begins to speak to the individual believers. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and looking at verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire, everybody say desire, spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Interesting. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Is that a bad thing? No. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Again, when we're gathered versus when we're by ourselves, we see some differences here. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Everybody say, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I mentioned that. That was from back on the 5th of June. But even more, that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So see, Paul is talking about the individuality versus the church application for all these things, and he's trying to communicate this to the church that's in Corinth so that they will understand how to apply these things and how to use them properly. And there's so much more in that chapter that I don't have time for today, but read it yourself. And when you read it and you start to see it with this understanding, it makes more sense. So looking at this text, he uses the word he who in the context. So let's examine this just a little bit more. Because again, there's individuals and there's group both in here. In verse 1, we are told to desire spiritual gifts. And then at the end of chapter 12, by the way, did you hear me read, but earnestly desire the best gifts? I've said this before, but let me remind you. Paul is speaking by the Spirit, and I do not believe that the Spirit would invite you, encourage you, want you to desire something he didn't intend to give you. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit's not going to get you desiring something he doesn't want you to have. So he tells you to desire it, and then the Holy Spirit says, oh, yeah, but you don't get that. Only certain people get that. No, that's not how it works. He wants it for all of you, all y'all. And then verses 2 through 4, Paul makes a distinction between the gift of tongues and the gift of prayer for the strengthening of the individual and the gift of prophecy, which is for the strengthening of others. When we gather together, we do get strength individually, but we get that strength because we're corporately together, and it strengthens everybody, and that's a wonderful thing. In verse 5, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Some versions in the past, the King James Version, which was very, very, very popular, said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but rather was the word the King James used, but rather that you prophesied. And people took that in our modern day way of thinking of the word rather as instead of. You can speak in tongues, but instead I'd rather you prophesied. But the word in the King James Version, New King James Version that I read, even more, is a better application. Why? Because again, if you can have that manifestation of prophecy and you can give it to other people, it becomes a very powerful thing. Becomes a very powerful, powerful thing. Because it touches more than just you. But yet, there's nothing wrong with you being touched. Now, there are no gifts that God does not want us to have. And there's a list of 9 gifts at the beginning of chapter 12. You can go back and look at it. I believe that all the gifts are for all of us, for all time. God wasn't reserving certain gifts for certain people, and then other people who aren't as important don't get those gifts. Not the way it works. So imagine with me for just a second a body of Christ who had the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in their lives. All of them had the gifts manifesting in their lives. What would it look like if everybody was as powerful as the most fiery evangelist you've ever seen, as the most incredible preacher you've ever known, as a healer? We read that healing, part of our declaration over our offering. Everywhere I go becomes a perfect health zone. Well, there are people who have had incredible manifestations of healing out of their lives. What if all of us, what if all y'all started seeing more healing in the lives of people? Now don't take this as a condemnation if you haven't yet. Take this as an invitation, not a condemnation. What would it look like if all of a sudden the people of God started doing all the stuff that the people of God have been gifted to do? It's just an exciting thing for me. Now, returning to the gift of tongues, some have suggested that it's a lesser gift. But that's not what it's saying in the scripture. It's not a lesser gift. It doesn't have advantages for the crowd. So if I stand up here and I just begin to speak in tongues and no one interprets, you will not be benefited by it the way that if I get up here and I speak a word of prophecy, even if it's not a prophecy for you, but you understand what I'm speaking to somebody else. Have you ever been encouraged when someone got a word of prophecy? I have. I love hearing what God's saying to somebody else. So Paul's not saying that tongues is a lesser gift. But Paul is saying that the purpose of tongues is for building up the person. I think that's important too. I think it's important for each of you to be built up. I would like to see each of you be made stronger. I would like me to be made stronger. I believe that God wants each of us to be able to pray in the Spirit. Or in other words, God wants us each to speak in tongues. So, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15 again, and then I'm going to add a little more context to it. For if I pray in a tongue, by spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray also with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing also with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen to your giving of thanks? Everybody say giving of thanks. Since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks. Everybody say give thanks. Give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Powerful stuff. So what is speaking in tongues in this context? Speaking in tongues in this context is the giving of thanks. It's our spirit speaking out of the Holy Spirit and giving thanks to God and glorifying God. Did you know that when you worship, you get strengthened? Did you know that when you praise, more power comes to you? Because you release yourself into the flow of God, and when you get in the flow of God, stuff starts to happen. And by the way, if Paul spoke in tongues more than anybody else, then he must have been the most thankful person on the planet at the time. Think about that. If you speak in tongues, you become the most thankful person on the planet if you speak more than everybody else. And maybe you don't speak more than everybody else. Maybe you won't speak more than me, because I've been talking to myself a lot lately, and I've been telling myself, hey, take a minute and pray in the Spirit right here. It's really amazing what happens if you're praying in the Spirit when you're working on the side of the garage and you can't get the daggone siding to fit, and you start to pray in the Spirit. And if nothing else, it kept me from cussing. So that was really good. You know, it was really, really good. Help me, Jesus. I don't know what I'm doing here. Now, someone may say, but that's not what tongues was on the day of Pentecost. Let me correct that problem as well. Let me correct that problem. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to just kind of skip through it, but it was the day of Pentecost. Suddenly the sound of the wind, verse 3, appeared on each of them, tongues of fire, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to have these utterances that they were speaking. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews and proselytes, that's an important part, from every nation under heaven. And they came together because they heard the sound, and then they heard all these people speaking in their own language. And then they say, in verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language, which we were born? And then it gives off a list of languages that's more than 11 or 12. So it wasn't just the apostles who were speaking. There were a whole lot of people speaking in tongues. 120 that were in the upper room all got slammed with this gift. And it goes on and says that. And then it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. This is verse 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? There are people who suggest that on the day of Pentecost, tongues was given to preach the gospel to people who didn't know about Jesus. Well, if tongues was given to preach the gospel, it failed miserably, because what happened was they all looked at the guys who were speaking in tongues and they went, I don't get it. They were bewildered, is another word for amazed, and perplexed. What is going on here? How is it these guys can do this? How did they get our languages? What is going on here? This is not what I expected. I don't know what's going on. That's what was happening that day. And then Peter stands up and he says, hey, everybody, listen to me. What you're seeing here, and he begins to preach, and he preaches a gospel message. And by the end of his message, the men are ready to tear their garments. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? They weren't ready to ask that question because they heard the tongues. They were ready to ask that question because they heard preaching, probably in Hebrew, because they were all Jews and proselytes, which meant they all knew Hebrew, and they heard what Peter preached, and then they wanted to be saved. What was speaking in tongues? I read it to you. It was the wonderful works of God. What is praise and worship in the Psalms? The wonderful works of God. We thank you, Lord, because you brought us through the Red Sea. We thank you, Lord, because of what you did here and what you did there. And the psalmist will tell of all the great, wonderful works of God as part of praise and worship. And interestingly enough, then Paul says, speaking in tongues is giving thanks. Which, what does David do all through the Psalm? He gives thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Tongues never was given, at least not originally. I'm not going to put God in a box and say that somebody might not speak in tongues and somehow that tongues is the language that the other person needed and they hear the gospel. God can do whatever he wants, but that's not how it started out, and that was not the primary purpose for him giving it. The primary purpose for God giving us the gift of tongues was so that we might praise and worship him, so that we might get ourselves back into an attitude of worship and praise, so that we might pray and connect with God, because the difference between prayer and praise is, prayer is like, God, what do you want to do here? And praise is like, let's do that, God. It's all part and parcel of the same thing, which is exciting. So what would change if we did pray in the Spirit with all prayers and on all occasions, as Paul suggested in Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 18? And let's not forget that Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Is it possible that adding praying in the Spirit to all of our prayers might indeed cause us to better imitate Paul? You think so, maybe? Could I be right about that? If we started praying in the Spirit more often, we might be imitating Paul more. If we were imitating Paul more, we might become more like Paul. As we imitate Paul, and he imitates Christ, and all of a sudden we become more able to flow with what God's wanting to do. Is it possible that our level of thanksgiving would be increased and we would become more thankful people? By the way, what do you think people would think of us if we were more thankful? Do you think we'd be attractive to people who need God? Do you think that would draw them in at all? I mean, I know there are times it's hard to be thankful. I have got 8 places on my hands where I nicked myself trying to put vinyl siding on the side of my garage. And I was not easily full of thanksgiving every time I found myself bleeding. But I did try to bring the Holy Spirit into it, and I'm amazed how quickly I'm healing up, really. I got it. Where's that one nick on my thumb right here? Anyway, how many of you love it when you get a owie right in where your crease is on your... Oh, yeah. Just... What if the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us and wants to build us up because we're praying in the Spirit a lot? Is this just a suggestion or is this a clear direction? Maybe it's an invitation. Some of you already pray in the Spirit. But are you praying in the Spirit as much as maybe you ought to pray in the Spirit? And some of you maybe never have sung in the Spirit. A little while here, when we go back to some music, it might be a good time for you to just take a shot at it. No one will hear you anyway, if the music's turned up loud. By the way, I wanted to bless the booth. I have been told twice in recent days it needs to be louder in here. Yes, yes, they don't mind. They try to keep it balanced for you, for all y'all. But I've been told twice recently, you know, if the music was just a little stronger. Now, if the music's too strong for you, sitting over that direction or over that direction is a little quieter. Sitting right in this section right here, it's a little louder. And that's intentional, actually. We wanted to, you know, have a hot zone. So if you're one of those people, you really need to be enveloped in the music right here. But any way you look at it, during that time of worship, you could just say, oh, give it. I've actually seen people get that way. They were just, there was one over here a few years ago, a young lady, and all of a sudden she just started speaking in tongues during worship. Just the desire of her heart, the Holy Spirit came. I also pray for people to be able to pray in the Spirit and to prophesy and to see other gifts manifest in their lives. And if you haven't had that experience and you want to have that experience, which would be a really good idea for you, I've never had anybody I prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues who didn't receive the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. Never happened. And there's hundreds of people that I've prayed for. One of my favorite moments was 125 kids at camp before lunch. I think some of them spoke in tongues because they just didn't want to miss lunch. But nevertheless, just kidding. All of them got it. It was awesome. It was awesome. I want to see every believer move in the gift of praying in the Spirit because I believe that sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to the will of God in a way that we can't otherwise. And so our mind, it says, is unfruitful while our spirit is praying. That's because if my mind engages, I'm going to ask God for something different than the Holy Spirit might ask because the Holy Spirit's not afraid and my mind might be. Does that make sense to you? Again, another reason why we want to pray in the Spirit. And by the way, the mind of the Spirit is always clear. My mind's not always clear. I know that might surprise some of you, but my mind's not always clear. No, you're not surprised a bit. You've watched me preach and have those moments where am I at? So the other day I was praying in the Spirit, driving down the road praying in the Spirit. And then I found myself praying in English. I'll switch back and forth. I'll just be praying in the Spirit. Suddenly I'll hear myself say something, and I suddenly heard myself say, Lord, I need to pray for our president. How should I pray? Because depending on which side of the aisle you're on, you may have feelings about current leadership and some of the things that's going on, and your frustration may make it hard for you to pray for somebody that you really need to pray for. And most of you know I would tend to be more conservative. And right now, that's not what's heading up things, as far as I can see. If any of you see it differently, tell me. I'd love to hear a good report. So I was like, how should I pray? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me, by the way? Because I was kind of in the Spirit. I was kind of listening to the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And there was this kind of this thing going on. I'm not saying it was, you know, the atmosphere. There wasn't a haze in the car. You know, the Shekinah glory was not in. That would have scared the police officers anyway if I went by and there was a, you know, gold haze in the car. They would have thought, what's he smoking? You know, so I just, you know, the presence of the Lord was there. And the Holy Spirit said, deliver us from evil. Now, some of you right away, yeah, I know how you feel, because when I first heard it, I had the same thing. Oh, that's not how I want to pray for the president. That must be me. That must be my carnality coming out. You know, I'm being carnal right now. How should I pray for the president? Deliver us from evil. Sounds like I'm saying that the president's evil. First of all men have, you know, men, if you think all men are naturally good, you haven't read the scripture, because the scripture says what's inside of a man is, you know, without God changing it, what's inside of a man is not good. Like, they may do some good things from time to time, but there is wickedness in all men. All men. There's a verse I'm trying to think of right now that I didn't put in here, and I wish I had, but how should I pray? Deliver us from evil. And I kind of laughed at myself. And I thought to myself, well, that's probably not the Spirit. But then the Spirit, being present, said to me, the present president is being influenced by evil. How many of you know that every president has people around them that are being influenced by evil, and they are being used by the enemy to pass on evil? You don't get to be the president of the United States and really the leader of the free world without having the devil take notice. Pray that the president should be delivered from evil. I've told several pastor friends this now, and they've laughed kind of like you did when I first told them how it all happened, but they were like, yeah, we do. We need to pray that this president will be delivered from evil. Deliver us from evil. Us. U.S. Deliver us from evil. And he's part of us, whether we like it or not. He's a citizen of the United States. Deliver us from evil. He is in the position of the commander-in-chief right now. It's just the way it is. So I've been praying that he would be influenced by good. I've been praying that he would be delivered from bad advice and bad direction from people around him. Wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden he started doing good things? I mean, good things, scripturally good things. I can imagine there would be a lot of people, some of you are giggling, there'd be a lot of people angry. But God has turned the hearts of worse people in history, and he can turn the hearts of any people, the heart of any man. Praying in the Spirit led me to pray in sync with the desires of God. And has there ever been a time in our lifetimes when we needed this more? We need it more. Again, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. This isn't just a suggestion. It's something that you should strongly consider, more than you would consider anything that comes from your spouse or anyone else that you know. And this is for our empowering, especially when fear is running amok in our land. This is for our empowering. If nothing else, praying in the Spirit will at least empower you. Even if nothing changes, you will be ready for whatever comes. And I think that's a big deal. So practically speaking, the name of today's message, practically speaking, there's never been a time more appropriate than now to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues. I want you to be the one who prays in the Spirit. Amen? If that experience hasn't happened to you, I encourage you to go after it with everything you've got. That's what I encourage you to do. Go after it with everything you've got. And go after the other gifts too. Go after prophecy. Go after words of knowledge. Go after words of wisdom. Some of you have manifested that and just don't even know it yet. You thought you were smart when you told somebody something and it was really the Holy Spirit that gave it to you. Pray in tongues, you'll be more thankful about it. Yeah. So, let's pray over you guys and anybody else who might discover this later. Father, we just pray that your Spirit would overwhelm us, that your Spirit would work through us, that there would be real intercession going out of us as we let ourselves be led to pray in the Spirit. Lord, just let us have that manifestation and let us not be afraid of it or embarrassed by it or weirded out by it, Lord. May it become such a common thing that people in the United States would expect it and even ask people who did it to pray for them, knowing that something happens when we release the Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.